Please rise for the versicles. Be seated for our reading. Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 44. This is the context of Jesus having dinner at the home of a Pharisee. Then he, that's Jesus, turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. I'm sure it was a pretty interesting conversation around the dinner table that night that Jesus had with Simon and other dinner guests that were there, Pharisees. And I'm sure they were talking some good theology, maybe discussing elements of Old Testament ceremonial law. These scholars and Pharisees were often known for caring deeply about the law of God and the commandments of God and how their society had slipped so badly and a lot of the immorality that would be around them. They definitely wanted to stand up for what Scripture would say on different things. And I think probably most of us here would feel pretty comfortable in their company at times because of the things they cared about. But they also frequently in Scripture demonstrate a problem for all of us, and that is the lure of self-righteousness. Those who care deeply about the things of God, those who care about the Word of God and the commands of God and morality and things, there can be a temptation for us to slide into self-righteousness. Have you ever noticed how frequently the Gospels bring up situations like this, or even Jesus in his parables, trying to depict the danger, the inherent danger of being deeply religious, which of course is a great thing. But there's also a danger that comes along with that. We think about his parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector and how easy it is for the more religious one to look at those in society who don't follow things quite the way that maybe we do as believers in God and his kingdom, and to say, God, I thank you. I'm not like other people are. The sin of pride is so deeply embedded in us that we can even be proud of how humble we are. That just shows something about the inherent problem with all of this. But Jesus often teaches us that the more inflated your impression is, my impression is, of our own personal spirituality, well, the further we move away from his grace and from himself. Now, we live in a pretty wicked culture today. It's not hard for us as Christians to look out into the world and things on our televisions and computers and read in the news of stuff that's going on that just makes us shake our head. And we should. We should shake our heads at that. We should be saddened by what goes on so often in our culture. But along with that comes this tremendous temptation to become inflated about ourselves, and to a little bit greater impression of who we are in comparison to all of that. Many years ago when I first started here, a young lady, happened to be a Lutheran pastor's daughter, came to see me after she'd been at Bethany about half a year. And she said to me, I realize I've got a problem that I never thought I would have. She said, a lot of the people that live around me in the res halls are doing some really bad stuff. But my problem is self-righteousness. I'm now sitting judging people. And she said, I've come to realize that's really my sin that I wrestle with. Martin Luther says about this text, notice how quickly Christ strips this man of his own righteousness, just rips it away from him. If you're filled with pride over the nice Christian life that you are leading by God's grace, Jesus would invite you also to sit and learn a little lesson from this probably whore, prostitute. Sit at her feet for a moment and learn true religion from her. We're told in the earlier text to this that she had lived a sinful life, and apparently it was well known to the guests, so it was of some type of public nature. But nothing gladdens the heart of Jesus. Nothing gladdens his heart more than to dry the tears of a penitent, sinful person. He says to the crowd there, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. It's as if Jesus is saying, looking at her, just see how greatly she appreciates the grace that I have come to bring into this world. Her thanksgiving to God for this grace was a result of the grace of Christ, and it was not a cause of her forgiveness, but simply a result of that great forgiveness from Christ. And the greater the sin is that you've been forgiven, the more appreciative you become of that. We see this in the physical realm with our bodies and our health. If you talk to people who have survived cancer because a doctor's particular skills were able to get them out of a horrible situation to save their life, they have a deeper appreciation for that doctor than the people who just work with him and others around him. You see, the further down the Holy Spirit has to fly down into our hearts and must reach to capture a sinner's heart with the grace of Christ, the greater of level of gratitude there will be in the person whom he has captured. I want to say something briefly here about sexual sins. There's something about sexual sins that leave a different scar on our consciences and on our memories. It's a sin against your own body, the way St. Paul describes it. And they are sins that later on in life start to sting us more deeply. And sometimes even physically sting us when there are diseases attached to it. And it'll often be sins that people deal with in lonely isolation, because it's not the type of stuff you go tell people about or that others necessarily witness. And because of that, there can be this intense self-loathing that comes along with it. But if that's burning and stinging in your conscience today, along with this woman, if you've fallen into a sin that causes you to maybe feel some despair about yourself, we need to see here that there is no sin too deep, too far away from Christ. There is no sin that has occurred too often. There's no level of immorality that cannot be covered and touched by the healing grace and forgiveness and mercy of our Lord Jesus, who says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." True believers in Christ rejoice to see other penitent sinners who are reached and touched with this gospel. An old Norwegian bishop, Nils Locke, says, "Whoever learns in his sinful need to know this saving love and experiences it daily is not offended at the Lord's mercy toward other lost sinners, but adores it and loves him even more." This started with an interesting conversation, but won't there be interesting conversations for us in heaven around the feast of salvation? Amen. Please rise as we continue with our hymn.
Yeah.
beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doing, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.